koutou and welcome to Primary Matters, a podcast about the things that matter to the primary industries. I'm Carol Stiles, and in this series, Hook, Line and Sinker, we're taking a dive into Aotearoa New Zealand's seafood sector.
It's going to be an exciting night, so be prepared to be wowed, to be humbled, and most importantly, to be proud of how this sector is moving towards living in harmony with nature.
In June, Parliament hosted the Seafood Sustainability Awards, an event that celebrates people who contribute to sustainability and innovation across the seafood sector. Finalists and their supporters were there, along with movers and shakers in New Zealand's seafood industry.
Tonight, we hear finalists from across all disciplines, people who are changing the way they fish and the way they do aquaculture. Our biggest challenge is sustainability, making sure we minimise the impact fishing has on the environment and making sure there are enough fish in the water for future generations. A sustainable future is not possible without innovation from the people who do the work at sea. And I want to commend the calibre of the award entries tonight.
One of the finalists was Dom Teliancic, a South Island commercial fisher and a contender for the Innovators Award. Dom has developed some technology he's dubbed Deep Set.
I fish out in Nelson and greymouth on my 24 metre trawl vessel. So I'm owner operator and we trawl for gurnard, terakee, John Dory, snapper, general inshore species.
What's the fishing like? How difficult is it for you to find what you're looking for?
Well, we spend most of our time avoiding species, to be honest. It's hard to get the right quota mix with what we're allowed to catch and what we have to stay away from, depending on our quota package.
How do you ensure you're not catching fish that you don't want or that you're not entitled to?
Generally speaking, most guys, they go off what they've caught historically and just based on their knowledge of the area. We've got sounders that can tell you when there's something there.
You see a red blob,
it could be half a dozen things. We just need a better understanding of what those red blobs are.
Dom, who has been fishing since he was 15, says he's a bit of a tech nerd and has always wanted to see exactly what's going into his net. He also says fishers are doing it tough. They need better tools so their businesses can remain viable in the face of increased compliance and operating costs.
So what we've developed is a camera that identifies species and transmits the data in real time to the vessel. So we've got onboard AI in the camera that goes on the net, and then the AI identifies a fish and transmits that data to the bridge in real time.
How accurate is that technology?
Well, the AI is really accurate on the species it's been trained on. It hasn't been trained on all species, but we've got over 30 species that the AI is very good.
There are penalties if commercial fishers catch more than their annual catch entitlement or quota allows, or if they catch a species they're not entitled to.
So snapper's just a perfect example. There's very, very limited quota, but there's heaps and heaps of snapper. And generally speaking, fishermen in the Area 7 fishery spend most of their time avoiding snapper, running from it. But this technology gives us the ability to see the fish coming into our net. If we know that the ratio of snapper coming in is too high, then we can haul our nets and go to a different area, change depth, change speed, and try to avoid the fish.
Dom says using Deep Set helps reduce fuel costs.
Certain species, when you're chasing them, you know that they're a fast-moving species, so you have to use a lot of power and a lot of revs to catch them, a lot of speed. With this installed on a net, you can tow along at a much reduced speed and just increase your speed and revs and when you see certain species coming in. So instead of towing 4 hours at four revs trying to chase down wahoo, you can reduce your speed, tow normally, and when you start seeing Waihau, then increase the revs.
Fuel costs at one period a couple of years ago had tripled over their normal rate. So being able to know that you have your quota with 25% less fuel is a very significant and important factor for the economics of fishing.
Richard Chatterton has been looking after the business side of the development of Deep Set.
The second issue is that historic information of fishing grounds is changing. As sea temperatures change, different species are migrating into what are now warmer waters. Fish species are being pushed further south. You know, kingfish now off Stewart Island is a significant issue for people who have certain quota but can't catch kingfish, so they must either buy quota or avoid these species altogether. It's very difficult to take a holistic view of a marine environment which is 600 or 700 metres below the surface. With this type of technology, we'll just have a better understanding of the whole of the environment, not just a particular fish species that you can take a certain amount from. And the environmentalists can have more real data in order to determine whether a species or whether an environment has been degraded or not. I just can only think that's going to be better. It's going to cause changes. There are going to be fisheries that are going to have reduced catches, and there are going to be other fisheries that are going to become opened up. But really, this is existential. You know, we if we don't have better information, some of these fisheries will be shut because we just don't know the damage that we're doing. Or we can imagine that we know, but we don't know. This technology will enable us to know.
The AI technology Dom uses to recognise different types of fish is trained over tens of thousands of images.
As soon as a fish is in the camera's field of view, it identifies it and then transmits that AI data to the bridge.
When you're on the bridge, what information are you receiving? How does it come in?
It's visualised on an electronic chart, and the species are all colour-coded, so when it's gurnard, 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 you'll see like red marks for gurnard, and then a snap will come in, you'll see a yellow mark, and it's all linked to GPS, so you see exactly where that fish is caught. We've also got bar graphs, so quantitative data, so you'll see a fish count alongside the GPS data.
One of the issues you're talking about in terms of why the AI doesn't commit video, in New Zealand we have an unusual situation where you can't have a data cable. You can't have a third wire, which is a data cable leading to the technology. So what we have to do, the cleverness of what Dom has created, is all of that electronic processing and AI has to be under the water in a computer and then transmitted through an acoustic modem. And because of you're transmitting through sonar, as it were, underwater, it's quite slow. Your ability to send a video image might be once every 3 seconds or so, but you can transmit what data is coming in automatically.
What would be the opposition to technology like this? Would some people think you might use it to exploit what you could recognise?
If a very pessimistic person looked at it, then of course they could make that argument. The point is, no fisherman wants to catch something that is illegal to catch or will harm the environment. No fisherman wants to catch sponge or coral or weed. They just can't help it. They can't avoid it because they don't know it's there. I guarantee if anyone had this tech and they were towing along and they could see sponge or coral going in the net, they would haul. It would be crazy to keep towing through it.
You're not going to be able to exploit a particular species because your quota's your quota.
That's right. But once you caught your quota, then you're shut down. You have to move away from that species, or if you can't manage it, then you have to tie your boat up. The quota management system is good in that respect. It does protect what's out there.
Richard says the proof of concept worked well on Dom's boat, so now they're testing Deep Set in a commercial setting with partners.
From then, we will then take on a development partner. We will try to develop it in New Zealand. All of the technology at the moment is being manufactured here in Nelson. That may not be possible in terms of scaling it to how it could go. So we'd want an international development partner ultimately to put it throughout the fishing fleet, throughout the North Atlantic, North America, and throughout Australasia.
So is this a world first?
Oh, definitely, yeah. There's one other company in the world that's doing what we're doing in Norway, is it, Dom?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And yeah, this is a world first. In terms of doing that process, processing live underwater and communicating it live to the bridge, yeah.
How much money have you spent so far?
So the way that I answer that is a fraction of what our one competitor internationally has spent. So they have spent millions and millions of dollars getting to roughly the same stage that we have in New Zealand for around $500,000.
So what's given you that advantage?
Whenever you're looking for an entrepreneur or you're trying to solve a problem, there's a couple of things that you need to do. Having somebody with real domain experience who really understands the problem, is living with the problem, means you just cut to the solution very, very quickly. And also, it is true in New Zealand, we have a history of not overthinking things. We get on with it and we just make a practical solution. And I think the first cut, that first viable product that we built, was very much built in that way. It was cobbled together with kit that Dom had in his container. We pulled in some local resources here who could write some really cool software. And it was all done very, very quickly without needing to ask lots of permission, without needing to get millions of dollars of funding, and without tying in a scientific institute, which our competitors done in Norway. And you know, they've probably got a very good product, but there are different ways of doing things. And we've just done it in very, very lean and very, very quickly.
The technology isn't just for fishers.
I really want governments and regulators to get hold of this tech and to think about how we can create better regulation, rather than just pushing regulation out there and hoping that fishermen can deal with it. Just using the intelligence to create a better understanding of our marine environment. Because with that better understanding, and a whole lot of science needs to be overlaid with the data, and once we start producing the data, there's going to be a lot of work for research scientists to work upon. And then with that better information, we'll have better regulations, then a more proven, sustainable fishery. And that's our goal, because that's good for government, it's good for our economy, and it's good for fishermen.
You're obviously quite excited about it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just very keen to see it grow, and I hope we can get it to a point where it's a standard tool for fishermen and it's available and accessible and affordable for all fishermen, and for it to deliver results to fishermen and families, communities.
Dom Taliancic and Richard Chatterton. Dom ended up winning the Operational Innovator category at the Seafood Sustainability Awards. I'm Carol Stiles, and you've been listening to Hook, Line and Sinker, a series in MPI's Primary Matters podcast. Thanks for joining me. Kia pai te rā.